Go ahead, please. Mr. President?
Hello?
One moment, Mr. Rose. Mr. Rose, stand by, please. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
How are you, Alex?
Well, I'm very fine, Mr. President. How are you?
Pretty good. I had a thought, I just don't want anybody to know about it but you, but I thought David ran some pretty good ads the other day.
The what?
Dubinsky ran some pretty good ads the other day, but they had too much material in them. They didn't have enough white space.
As we're running those two column ads with your picture?
No. I thought you were so rich after I had everybody buying hats that you just retired.
Not only that, but the ads we're running, I'm surprised you didn't see them, were in every paper. They were an ad that started up urging to register, and then we turned in and we made the secret reason why you should register.
Yeah.
We had three beautiful paragraphs. And then we had a garden rally announced. Well, you'll see more of them. You'll see a new one on Monday in New York Times. And we have a good slogan there. I'd like to tell them, because we're going to have a slogan with your picture, and we'll say, let him go on with the job. And it starts over the following. Under President Johnson, the nation is on the move. Let him go on with the job.
All right. Now, I've got a job that's really going to be effective. It's going to be more so than the Nixon telecast was on his dog back there when he was with Eisenhower, but I got to have somebody smart to handle it and can get it started, and I just wonder if you can't give a little thought to it. I want to... The Post and the Times and some of the liberal people up in New York don't seem to follow through on anything that really we get started on these folks. It hurts them. Except Bobby Baker. They give me hell every day about it, but they just, and Billy Saul Estes, but they overlook all these other things. Now, the immigration thing, they let Miller get off the hook on that.
Very strong guy that they gave on the immigration, on Miller.
Yeah. But now they've got him. Frank Stanton uncovered it. And they've got him on the summit committee of the Burt Society.
Goldwater
has personally had to admit that he is a member of it. Now, that's the outfit that was saying that Eisenhower was a stooge of the communists. And that is a secret organization. Now, no president ought to be tied in with anything like that. And the Post ought to have its reporters and the wire services, and the Times ought to have its reporters shocked to death and asking this guy if he's not going to resign, how he can be a member of the Klan of the Burt Society and be a member of the Senate at the same time. Now, they just raised hell to Hugo Black for doing it 30 years ahead. But here a guy is tied in with the Burt Society on their summit meeting on international conferences, which was set up to keep Eisenhower from being taken in by the communists. And it was a great reflection on Eisenhower, and he has had to admit it. Now, Frank Stanton told me that he had a copy of their book, well, their secret book that they distribute like the Klan does, and it showed him on this committee, and he couldn't believe it. And by God, they got a hold of him, and he fuzzed it up and said, yes, he believed they did call him, and he did think he did. But we don't follow through on it. Now, Humphrey is speaking all time, and he charges him with this and that, but they're too damn scholarly, and it's not getting us votes. The thing that gets you votes is when they get scared about a man going to be a Klansman, or you see what the Jewish thing, what's happening to Bobby. And we let it go. We caught his partner on the payroll of the House of Representatives, 7,500. Now, Bobby Baker never got on any payroll for business, but we let that drop. He got out from under it. He went in the immigration thing, and that we fuzzed it up, but it didn't really stick. Now, on this Burchite thing, if we could get the AP and the UP and the New York Post, if we could get our lady friend there, or we could we'd get Wexler, or we could get to somebody over at the Times to just hound him to death every day, is he resigning? Will he quit it? Will he denounce it? Is it not true that he's on it? Did he intend it to be against Eisenhower? What kind of a secret thing? Has he ever had any connections with the Klan? Now, he's tied in with all these gamblers. We know that. He had B.O. riding around in his plane with him. He put him in charge of the country club. And Drew Pearson wrote a story, but the Washington Post won't even carry it. But they don't mind caring about us. Now, KQ in New York,
Well, I'll go to work on it.
Get...
I'll go to work on it. I'll stir up some people.
Get some of your literary people and some of your groups up there to get upset about the Birch thing and make them go to asking him questions. And go to writing editorials and go to getting it on the newscasts up there some. Let Dubinsky give out an interview, and you just say he's shocked that he's tied in with the Birch, and you give out an interview and just say, God Almighty, you just unbelievable. And get somebody else to just say it's unthinkable. Get a rabbi here and a professor there and a scientist over here and an author here. Now, he's going to try to drop everything on us, the Baker and all of this, and he's closer to Baker than I was, but his people do it and they follow through. And every hour they ask me, but our people don't. Now,
well, I tell you, one of the reasons why probably is because there's such a good feeling that your campaign is going well. There's no desperate feeling on our side.
But the last two or three weeks, we ought to put him to dodging.
I agree with you, no matter what the thing is.
Dorothy Schiff, and you've got somebody at the Times.
One thing I would like to, by the way, you have been expressing yourself in the last day or two a certain amount of overconfidence in Schiff, I think.
Well, the press twisted it. I said that I'm not going to be a jury and sit in Washington. I'm going into 35 states because we want to have everybody in America to participate in this thing. We've got to have the greatest victory that we've ever had to show the world this. Now, that's what I say. Then they come out and say, Johnson predicts great Democratic victory. Then everybody called me and said, don't predict a Democratic victory. Well, hell, if I predict a defeat, I'll lose the election. So I'm just saying, you people, please, for God's sakes, do your duty. I tell them a story about a man down here on my ranch that rode with his wife in the rain in a double buggy 26 miles to vote. And when they got there just before sundown, before the courthouse closed, they voted. And the weekly newspaper man said, who did you vote for? And he said, I voted for Democrat. And they asked her, said, who'd you vote for? I said, I voted for Republican. And they said, well, that's crazy. Why'd you drive 26 miles in the rain? And said, because we wanted to do our duty of citizenship, and we wanted to do our obligation to our country and our boys in the Army, and we wanted to express ourselves, and you got to do it, vote. You can't do it in Hitler's period and things in Stalin's period. And that's why we did it. And I tell these people, go and vote even if you're going to vote against me.
That's a great story. Mr. President, I want to ask...
Now, they don't use any of that, because that's not news. They just use a headline.
It's all right. I'm not worried. So far, you were able to overcome every one of the stories that appears. If you figure out the next day doesn't come out right, you know how to cure it. I'm not worried one bit. Let me ask you about our garden rally this Thursday. We're going to have inside a rally, and we'll have an outside rally, too. Now, there was one question I asked Doug Valenti. He was going to check with you, and as long as I talk with you, I might as well check with you. We want to take the half an hour that we have on state television. We want to use a few minutes for Stevenson for you. Is that all right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
We're going to give him Pat Finan called me up. He's evidently working on it. And I told him that if he wraps up your speech within 22 minutes, probably enough for a TV, isn't it?
Yeah, that's plenty.
And we'll give the 6 minutes to 7 minutes to Stevenson. It'll be a hell of a good half an hour.
That's all right.
Huh?
That's all right.
Yeah. Okay, then here's what I want to tell you we're doing. I want you to know the garden is sold out already.
Mm-hmm.
Madison Square Garden sold out a week before the garden. And we're now getting people to come outside the garden for an outdoor rally alongside with the garden rally.
Mm-hmm.
Simultaneously.
All right.
And we said in the advertising that will appear on Monday, the same speakers, the same artists will appear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't commit you to it. If you don't want to, you can be heard from the inside of the garden. Pipe it out, or if you have a urge to go out and speak to people, speech you'll make inside a garden, but all you might want to do is go outside and speak to people for a few minutes.
All right, I'll try to do it.
So you'll have a good meeting inside and a good meeting outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, from what I gather, it's going pretty good. I mean, in fact, I was prepared in my own mind. I remember when you made an evaluation yourself about 2 months ago, you thought you would wind up at the end of the campaign around 60-40, and I think you've been hitting it on the nose. This is the way it looks to people wind up.
Well, I'm afraid it's going to be near 55-45. I think we're over-optimistic in the South. They awful bitter. Ms. Johnson just came in last night. She did a wonderful job, but they picketed her and they harassed her and they yelled at her. But did a wonderful job. And I think it's closer in Illinois than we think. And I think it's closer in Ohio than we think. And I think it he's going to try to drop some bombshells, and we don't have any offensive. Our party organization ain't worth a damn, and I've got to reorganize it and put some new men and some liberal people and some activists and some guys that got some ideas in charge of it that can work with groups. This group now, they just got a bunch of old worn-out bosses, and I'm going to... I'm going to bring in some young men, but I can't do it without hurting the Kennedy people's feelings. And I've just had a hell of a shape. I haven't had anybody much but you and one or two folks to advise with me. And I'm just carrying on as best I can. But I got a good cabinet, and I got a perfect record. Kennedy left 51 major bills, and I passed every one of them in the Senate and all but two of them in the House.
I want to tell you, Mr. President, I want you to know that as far as we're concerned, we're conducting only a Johnson campaign. We haven't been putting an ad, a party ad, without your picture dominating the whole ad. And everything we talk about is Johnson. And I said it frankly, you are the only single individual who brings strength to all the candidates. Nobody can do anything for you. If Bobby Kennedy in New York, if he will win, it will only be under your tail. Not two coattails, and his late brother's coattail and not your coattail.
All right.
So he has no strength of his own to speak of, you know? And every candidate, everywhere, I am pretty sure, it is all depending on Johnson. You're the man who carries the whole big ball.
Say, now, listen, you're going to be out of business in your hatters' union. You're not going to have any hats to make. You better tell your Stetson friends down there. Aren't you big friends of theirs? You better tell them that they better make me a very rock-bottom cost price that I can personally pay for, because nobody else pays for them. I haven't got any oil millionaire. Now, wait a minute. I'm going into 37 states, and every damn place I go, the mayor, the coordinator, the governor, the local newspaper, the big shot, they all like to see me wave my hat, and I throw them out and give them to people. And they just, they go talking hats everywhere, and everybody wants me to send them one. One fellow yesterday said he got the governor of Iowa. He wears a 7 5/8. Now, I can't pay this damn fellow $75 a hat.
Can I make a contribution like you make a political contribution
in hats? Yes, sir. You just tell them if they'll load Air Force One down, they've got the small size that I use, the right weight. They've got everything down. They've got the LBJ in it, made for President Lyndon Johnson. All they need is just get me a few dozen of them. And
you want the Stetson alone, only Stetson?
Well, no, I just have anybody that I can get it from.
All right, and I'll see to it that you'll get, supposing you leave word at the White House that there'll be a steady stream of hats coming.
All right.
I'll be sending hats by the carloads.
Well, now listen, the Stetson has got the right kind of a brim and the right kind of... I don't want one of these great big old wide ones that a governor won't wear.
You want the modern
Now I want one that looks like it's west and still it's small enough to be a dress hat. And Stetson has done that. I've showed them how to do it, and then you'd get one of them and then show it to Dobbs or whoever it is,